The Bible says, I was glad when I said we should come to the house of the Lord. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for the privilege of preaching and teaching God's word with freedom. Lord God, we enter the word with all humility. We ask, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. And as I come to speak, I pray you will anoint me afresh, that indeed I will speak as I should, as an oracle of God, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to the people. And I pray that you put the same anointing and unction on the ears and the hearts of the people, so that they will receive the word as it is delivered. Lord God, we pray that as we speak, Lord God, the anointing on the word will work in every heart, Lord God, including mine, cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened, and our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We will further pray that as we speak, the power of the Holy Spirit will be released in great measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that indeed they will become doers of the things which they hear and are hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful as we deliver the word, so it will deliver it with precision. We will redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving all the blessings I mentioned in the prayer in their individual life agreed and said, Amen. Praise the Lord. In our last lesson, we stopped in the Gospel of Luke. We were in Luke chapter 12. And we were in the last few verses. And I believe I stopped in verse 53. From verses 49 through 53, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us something about the characteristics of the time, you know, when he's coming. He says, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I, if it be already kindled? I have a baptism to baptize with, and how straitened or constrained I am till it be accomplished. Now, suppose you that I am come to give peace on the earth? I tell you, no! But rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, daughter against the mother, mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. Now, Jesus tells us here that he's coming, this second coming of Christ, and we're not talking about the rapture here immediately. You know, there's this misunderstanding, I should call it that, or inaccuracy, that many, particularly evangelical and Pentecostal Christians, and it's all over television, YouTube, everything's rapture is going to happen tomorrow. You know, especially after Trump announced that Jerusalem has become the capital. Oh, that's a prophetic sign. It means, you know, well, it is, you know, but it's not portending the rapture. There's something that must happen before the rapture, not, you know, and that is that the church must grow spiritually to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, inherit the Spirit without measure, manifest it, and then take it to every ethnos, that is every tribe, tongue, and kindred all over the world as a witness to them. Then the rapture will happen. And what I've just described is not going to take you anything less than 20-something years. That's at the very minimum. It could be much longer. From the time the manifestation begins, and it hasn't yet begun. So, you know, it's close, but it's not as close as many would think it would be. And you have to be honest about the scripture, because the Bible says, you know, until we all come. We haven't come yet, so... It's not going to happen until we all come to the unity of the faith and know the Son of God unto a perfect man. We haven't seen that yet. You know, so Jesus is coming. So anyway, the important thing is that these things that have written, that Jesus said here, the division that will come in the church will not be, it's going to happen, you know, because of stubbornness, disobedience, dishonesty and unbelief. That's what's going to cause there to be a division. Because some people will believe the truth, others will refuse to, you know, and stubbornly refuse to. And that's why there's going to be a fire, like it's a fire of judgment of some sorts, you know, that's going to cause, you know, a separation in the church. This is very well typified, you know, many of the things in the Old Testament, you know, are shadows of the reality of what we are going to be experiencing. That's why the Bible says, you know, the law is the shadow of things to come. In other words, you can see what is coming by looking at a shadow. That's why we need to know the Old Testament. The Old Testament is full of prophetic shadows that by under the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit revealing to us, can show us what's going to happen next. I heard Pa Elton say this many years ago. He said the Old Testament is a prophetic map. In other words, you can go and locate where you are, and then you can know where you're going next just by looking at the Old Testament types and shadows. Amen? And, you know, so the one of the prophetic equivalents of what Jesus said here is the tension, or rather the conflict between the house of Saul and the house of David. You know, same Israel, but they were divided initially. When David was made king, he was only king of only one tribe. Only 1/12 of Israel believed that David was the king, even though it was God who anointed him. The remaining 11 tribes didn't believe at first. But over a 7-year period, there was a conflict between the two the tribe of Judah and the rest of the tribes, the house of Saul and the house of David. But gradually, over time, amen, the remaining 11 tribes came to see that David was truly the person. And after about 7 years, they all now came to David and then anointed him king over all of Israel. Now the same thing is happening now, or it's going to happen. You know, that's the next thing. As the anointing, the spirit without measure comes into manifestation in the church, and first fruits of God's people begin to do the same miracles Jesus did, manifest the same wisdom and power and holiness and character, the majority of the church at first won't believe them. In fact, they'll call them the devil. Well, they call Jesus the devil, so that's not news. Praise the Lord. They actually, can you believe that? They said he cast out, and the people who call him the devil were not the heathen. They weren't the unbelievers. It was the Christians. It was the Jews. It was the guys who believed the word of God. It was the Pharisees, not even the Sadducees. The people, the leaders, the high priest and the institutionalized religious leaders said, same is going to happen. You know, and they said, this man is a cast out spirit by Beelzebub. You know, they actually called, you know, Jesus the devil. You know, so if they call you the devil, don't worry. You're in good company. So this is going to cause a friction. It's going to cause a division, you know. And you see the same even the ministry of Jesus. You see, you know one thing I like, Pastor G, about the Lord Jesus? He never asked us to do anything he himself did not suffer. Even in his own house, he had the same problem. This thing he's saying was happening in his house. His brothers didn't believe in him. Father-in-law again. His mother! Holy mother! At first, you know, I have to be sympathetic with Mary, because she was a good woman, you know. But, you know, that's why you have to be very careful and don't allow natural things, you know, to cloud your spiritual judgment. Mary was the one who gave birth to Jesus. Mary was the one that Gabriel appeared to. If anybody knew Jesus was God, it was Mary. But, you know, 30 years is a long time, folks. That happened 30 years, you know. The boy was growing up and, you know, he was just like any other child, you know, and he had brothers and sisters, you know, and all of that, and Joseph died, you know, all that just receded into the background, you know. And initially when Jesus began, they went to go and tell him that your son is mad, I'm paraphrasing. He
your son is mad, you better go and tell him. Go and, you know, he's going around calling himself son of God and casting out devils and all of that. You know, Mary didn't go to his meetings. He was standing outside. The Bible says, you know, they say your mommy and your brothers are standing outside and they are calling for you. What are they calling for? They're trying to straighten him out. Call him to order. And because Jesus understood their attitude. And that's what he's saying here. Father-in-law against brother against son. You know, the same thing happened to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's going to happen to you. And Pastor Guiga was the only one who said amen. You know, I don't know why we don't like the truth. Yeah, I say it's going to happen to you. Amen. You will overcome it, but it's going to happen to you. That's why you have to be prepared. Even within your family, some of your brothers and your sisters, even your parents, you know, will come against you at first. Remember, it's at first. You get them later. Praise the Lord. But you have to be ready for it and stand your ground and walk in love. So Jesus, knowing their attitude and that their attitude was wrong, he rebuked them publicly. They say, your mommy and your dad and your brothers are calling for you. You say, who is my mommy? It's written. You say, who is my mommy? Who is my brother? Then he pointed to the people who are listening. He said, these ones, the disciples, he says, this is my mommy and my brother and my daughter. And Holy Mother heard it. And the brothers heard it. You can imagine how mad they were. This boy disgraced us in front of everybody. You know, I'm sure he went to see them later. But he finished his meeting. He didn't just leave the meeting. You know, so there was always that tension in the house. You know, it went on for some time. You know, there was one time I was going to the Feast of Tabernacles in John chapter 7, you know, and they said, Shabu, you call yourself, I'm paraphrasing, you know, you call yourself Messiah. Okay, you're doing those miracles. Yeah, come. Let come and come and show to the whole world so everybody will know who you are. They said it sarcastically. They were deriding him. They were needling him. You know, yeah, you know, Jesus operated in love, you know, with wisdom. You know, you have to be wise and you have to be above all these kind of things. You don't start arguing with such people. He said, no problem. He said, guess what? You know, he said, you guys go friends. You can always go, you know, but, you know, me, they want to attack me. You just don't worry about me. I'll take care of myself. I'm paraphrasing. And they went first. He went, but he didn't go with them. He went in secret. And then he appeared at the feast later on and taught and all of that. The point is this. These tensions will happen. You know, 5 against 2, 2 against 3, you know. And what's causing it? Unbelief. Unbelief. Stubbornness. You know, some of the greatest... I was sharing with somebody recently. You know, we often think of the greatest sins as adultery and fornication. Those are very bad. Don't I was teaching about them the other day. And they affect the environment and all of that. And cause the earth to vomit you out. So you don't want to get into all of that. But right on the other hand, you go to the book of Revelation, you find out that the first two terrible sins are fear and unbelief. They come before adultery and whoremongering. All of them are bad. But some are even worse. Fear and unbelief are worse. Hello. Nobody, everybody's very quiet here because they're a lot of fearful and unbelieving. Fear and unbelief is a worse sin. You know, stubbornness. Idolatry, which is covetousness in the New Testament. They are worse because, you know, they harden the heart and they don't cause you to receive the word of God. And it is the root cause of division. The root cause of division is pride, rebellion, and stubbornness. People will see, hear the word of God like this and they will know it's the truth, but, you know, so that their own point is going to be taken, they would refuse to accept, submit to the truth. And that's what caused division in the church. We looked at this last time. I'll just try. I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where he's talking about communion, and where Paul said, he said, there must needs be divisions among you, so that those who are approved, give it to me, It's 1 Corinthians. Where is it? 11 what? Where are my Bible guys? 1 Corinthians 11. Hello, somebody. What verse? 18. Thank you. Everybody say, for first of all, I didn't hear you. Open your mouths. For first of all, when you are come together in the church, I didn't hear you. What's wrong with you tonight? I hear that there be divisions among you. That's what Jesus was talking about, you know. But this is the reason. Verse 19. For there must be also heresies. Heresies just mean people are wrong. Among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. In other words, you won't know the truth from the false if there's no division. Hello? It is the truth that shows up the wrong. So those who are approved shows up those who are not approved. And those who are not approved are causing the division. That's something we got to live with. Hello, somebody. Someone said, but I thought, you know, the church is going to be united before Jesus comes. Yes, but not all the church. God will find a group and a company that will be united. Are you listening? But not everybody is going to be united. That's what the scripture says. You know? Now, of course, that's not the will of God, but it's like that because of man's stubbornness and rebellion. You see this truth, you know, it runs through the entire Bible. You know, when the Bible says, you know, it's not willing that any should perish. But are people perishing? Yes. Why? Stubbornness. Rebellion. Unbelief. It's not willing that any should perish. The will of God is that all should be saved. But are all saved? No. Not because it's not the will of God, but because God has given man a free will, and people exercise that free will in the wrong direction. So in the same way, it is not the will of God that we be divided, but we will have divisions because men exercise their will in the wrong direction, in stubbornness and rebellion and unbelief. I'm not talking to anybody here. You know, for the life of me, you know, Pastor G, I for example, let me give a very simple example that has existed in the last 100, over the last 100 years, you know, since we the restoration of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, you know, was restored back to the church. I was just thinking about it today, you know, from 1901 in Topeka, Kansas. There were a few people living before then, but, you know, the main major thing started, and then it spread to the Azusa Street Revival in 1906. And since then, the Pentecostal revival has swept the entire planet. But do you believe that there's still some of my wonderful Baptist brethren? Pastor Andrew. No, Pastor Andrew is originally Baptist. But God saved him. Praise the Lord. Amen. He tell you. You know, till today, I'm talking. Till today, as I speak. Do you understand? And they are wonderful people, though. Otherwise, these are people, you know, there was a time this is about 20 years ago, over 20 something years ago, more than 20, it was 1995 or something. I used to go, you know, for retreats. Just to go and pray and fast, I would go to the north. I would go to Jos, and there is a Baptist place called Imiango. It's just outside Jos. I'll go there for 2 weeks just to go and pray and rest and all of that, you know. And it's run by Baptist missionaries, you know. And I remember meeting a couple, you know, white American Baptist people, you know, and we were having dinner together. And they were asking me, yes, and I'm, you know, pastor and all of that in Ibadan, you know. And the topic got round to tongues, as it always will. And they told me, point blank, they don't believe that everybody should speak in tongues, because the Bible says, do all speak in tongues. And, you know, they don't have it, and they don't believe that, you know, you can have the Holy Spirit without speaking in tongues, and tongues is not really necessary. Well, I disagreed with them. I didn't fight with them. I stood my ground. I said, no, I don't believe that. I said, yes, the Bible says do all speak in tongues. But I said, but he wasn't talking about prayer tongues. He was talking about the gift of diversities of tongues and interpretation. They said, where did I get that from? I said, it's in the Bible. you know, and then I quoted them, you know, I would that you all speak with tongues. They said, well, that's Paul's opinion. But it's scripture. Of course it's Paul's opinion. But the whole of for Corinthians is Paul's opinion. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, if I have not love, is also tongues opinion. Love endures long and in vision, God, is also Paul's opinion. So how do you want to distinguish one between Paul's opinion and God's opinion? Oh, come on. You know what that is? Dishonesty. You're cherry picking. You want to take the part of the word of God that agrees with you, and the one that doesn't agree with you, you don't want to. Then after a while, we can do anything we like with the Bible. We either accept all of it as being the inspired word of God that Paul and Moses and Joshua and Ezekiel, they were all secretaries. The person who wrote the Bible was God. They were written, they were writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So it's not just Paul's opinion, it's the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? And so, you know, these are fundamental things. But I'm telling you, that's the reason for division. Now, these wonderful Baptist brethren have heard about the effect of Pentecost in the last 100 years. The evidence is there. And you look at all of that and you still say, well, that's the Baptist. But you know, we've done exactly the same thing. We're preaching on perfection and all that. People look at it and still say, no. Groaning. And they look at it and no. Same, it's the same. Nothing has changed. It's the same dishonesty. It's the same stubbornness. It's the same unbelief that is causing the division. But the good news is we'll take care of the division. Let me concentrate on the good news. You know why? When the glory comes, hallelujah, it's going to settle all the controversies. Now, they may not necessarily agree, but it will become so clear, you know, that, you know, they will do one of two things. Sink into irrelevance, or drop their pride and join us. But the truth will prevail. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. That's what's going to happen. Amen. You know, what I'm about to say is tough, but I have to say it because it's the word of God and it's what's happening. And this portion of scripture that Jesus is talking about. That's, you know, I often ask the Lord why he tells us all of these things. As we're going to read the next part, we're going to see in a minute. You know, but before I get there, you see, when God tells us something that looks a little bit hard and tough, it's because he's preparing us for what's coming. Because if you're not prepared, then you will not know how to handle it when it comes. Are you listening to me? You know? So why will he tell us there's going to be division? So that you can, you know how to handle it. Now, this I'm about to say is tough, but it's true. You know, some of the people who don't do something, God's going to have to cut them off. Because God is coming back for a glorious church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. So either you remove the spots and the blemishes from your life, but if you want to retain your spots and blemishes, then you get cut off with them. Hello. I didn't hear one amen. Except for Pastor Wega, and maybe slightly supported by Pastor Wale. Maybe we don't like this kind of preaching. You know, but you can't do anything about it. Are you listening to me? The truth will always prevail against a lie. And that's why it's good to side with the truth. And there's one of my favorite scriptures. I quote almost every message now it comes out. You know, renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. It's a big, you know, you will not know how big that problem is. It's so much in the church. You know, that's why it says it's hidden. Hidden is in the heart. It's dishonesty inside. You have to renounce it. Even Paul had to, because Paul too had it. Otherwise, he wouldn't say, I renounced it. You don't renounce something you didn't have. Amen. Hello? Not walking in craftiness. You know all this, cunningness, handling the word of God deceitfully. It's the word of God. Then you just twist it to suit your own, you know, like this, my brethren was talking about. That's the word of God. I would that you all speak with tongues. I didn't write that. Paul did, under the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit telling us that I want everybody to speak in tongues. And you just take it and just twist it. That's handling the word of God deceitfully. Because it's in black and white. Now it doesn't mean revelation knowledge, prof. It's clear. I would that you all, no exceptions, speak in tongues. So every Christian should speak in tongues. Now every Christian doesn't speak in tongues, but every Christian should. Hello? Hello? Every Christian should travail. Every Christian should grow to the fullness of Christ. Hello? The same Paul, Christ in you, the hope of glory, teaching every man and warning every man that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. What are you going to do about it? Every man. I think you're a man or a woman. Just means humanity. Are you listening to me? Hey, look at those kind of scriptures and you walk away from them. You're dishonest. You're dishonest. You just handle the word of God deceitfully. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. This is the reason for the division. But it will be taken care of by divine judgment. Those who continue to walk in division will be cut off. Doesn't mean they won't go to heaven. They will, but they will lose their reward. They will suffer loss, and the church will march on. You know, so it's for you to make up your mind now that you're going to side with the truth. I like what Paul said, the same Paul. Thank God for Paul. What would we do without Paul? There is nothing we can do against the truth but for the truth. Join the truth, because you can do nothing against the truth. The truth will always prevail. Are you listening to me? I made up my mind many, many years ago, you know, to stay with the truth. And over the years, I have evolved. No, I believe in not evolution, but what I mean is I've grown, I've changed. Do you understand? I'm always ready to move with what God reveals. I don't stay where I was. I've been quite around on this spiritual odyssey. Because that's what it is. Do you understand? You know, I started with the SU. That's where I started. I got born again in Ecom, in Cross River State. It was evangelical. I just had this, you know, SU. You know, you read my Bible. I accepted Christ. All I had was, you know, Watchman Nee's book. And then, you know, these IVP, InterVarsity Press. Michael Green and all those people, they didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. You know, they were trying to use sense knowledge to explain. You know, the thing confused me. My head started spinning. You know, but you know, that was all I knew. That was all I had. So I was like that until I went to England. It was in England and I went to Imperial College that, you know, I got introduced to Kenneth Hagin's material and I had the Holy Ghost. I left my evangelical brethren and I moved. I didn't stay where I was. Hallelujah. I said, this is the truth. So I'm not going to just, you know, say that's what I had before. I moved on. Do you understand? Then, you know, after Kenneth Hagin and faith and all of that, I learned all of that. And I started hearing about the prophetic. And I started hearing about the kingdom. I started hearing about perfection. I started hearing about the glory. I didn't stay with my Pentecostal brethren. I moved. Because what I'm looking for is the truth. I owe nobody no allegiance. In politics, they say no permanent friends, no permanent enemies. In the kingdom, no permanent friends, no permanent enemies. Only permanent interest, the interest of the kingdom. Give the Lord a clap over it. You don't owe anybody any loyalties. The only person you owe loyalty to is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If they stop following the cloud, you don't stop. You got to keep moving. Amen. Because truth is constantly being unveiled. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? And so, let's read on. Verse 54. And he said also, now it's in the same breath, you know. And he said also to the people. When you see a cloud arise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Now watch this. You hypocrites! How is it you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, and how is it that you do not discern this time? You know, this is particularly applicable to today. We look at the sky, it's going to rain, it rains. We look at it, it's going to be dry, it's dry. We now know we're in Harmattan. How many people know we're in Harmattan? You don't need thus said the Lord. Hello, somebody. You know, yeah. It's the weather. You know, it follows a pattern. Prophetic things follow a pattern. How can you not discern this time? You know why? The answer is dishonesty. Not handling the word of God, handling the word of God deceitfully. Yeah, the time of Jesus' coming is here. I'll just quickly go through something. We've been through this many times. You know, we're still going to meet it again because we're in Luke. You know, but in Luke 21 and verse 25, it says, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon. They happened. The blood moons. That it has never, it only happens on specific times when the blood moon, they're always blood moons, but when they coincide with the feasts of Israel, they now have prophetic significance. And you can, they've been, I don't know, let me just give you, I shared this many about 2-3 years ago, but it will bear repetition here because it's what I'm talking about. You know, they've been a few over the last millennia. There was one in 1492. That was the year America was discovered. Christopher Columbus, you don't read this in your history book, but he went out led by the Holy Spirit. And that same year, many other people don't know this, you know, the Queen of Spain threw out the Jews. Yes, because of the Inquisition that was coming. So yes, they threw out, they told the Jews to emigrate, to get out. So God went to prepare a land for the Jews called America. Can you imagine? God has already been planning this far back. The next time the four blood moons coincided with the feasts was in 1947, where the Jewish nation was founded. The declaration for Jewish nation was made in 47. It was in 48 that the UN, what happened was that the United Nations, after World War II, you know, under Harry Truman, the American president, with the British government as well as the Russians, all agreed that they would give Israel a homeland in Palestine. And they, you know, all this trouble that they're having now, you know, again, I don't want to sound biased, but I am, because I don't know if you know, I'm Jewish, if you don't know. I am the seed of Abraham. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. I love my Jewish brethren. I don't agree with everything they do. You know, and God too is no respecter of persons. He has chastened the Jewish nation terribly because of their unbelief and their disobedience. So the same God that chastised the Babylonians, the same God that chastised the Persians, the same God that chastised the Greeks, chastised Israel. God is a God of righteousness and justice. He didn't make any distinction. The same punishment he gave the Hittites and the Jebusites was the same punishment he gave Israel. He said, if you do the same things you do, I will do the same thing to you. And he did. However, they are beloved for their father's sakes. And God said, I'm going to bring you back after I have punished you, which exactly is what he did. Anyway, so beloved for the Father. So in 47, the announcement was made in the UN. That was when officially it was done. Now, Pastor G, this is terrible. Immediately they announced and they gave they gave Israel. They were only, believe this or not, it is true. Go and check it. Google it. You know, in fact, I just sent something to the pastors today about a speech by Netanyahu that he just gave recently after Donald Trump. Trump, you know, announced Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which isn't news anyway. It's always been the capital of Israel. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with Trump. You know, it's the reality. We're not going anywhere. Where are they going to move their capital to? Oh, come on. Come on, I I've got the Holy Ghost inside me, and the Jews are my brethren. You know they're Jesus' brothers. I don't know how many people know that. How many people know Jesus was Jewish? And proudly so. I don't know if you know that. Do you know what he told the Samaritan woman? He said, you guys don't, I'm paraphrasing, this is a little bit translation. He said, you guys don't know anything. He said, because salvation is of the Jews. The same Paul writing about his Jewish brethren, he said, what advantage hath the Jew? He said, much, chiefly in every way. For to them were given the custody of the oracles of God. And it was from them the Messiah came. Don't mess around with the Jews. Anyway. So they announced they gave them the homeland in Palestine. There were only 650 Jews at that time. Do you understand? All the Arab nations, they were 40 million Arabs. They attacked all together. Derek Prince was in Israel at that time. Derek Prince had fought in World War II, and he came to know the Lord and get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he happened to be in Jerusalem at the time. And he tells of miracles of angels fighting for that small Jewish army against these millions of Arabs. Hallelujah. And the Jews defeated them. So it was after the defeat, they now announced the birth of the nation of Israel in 48. So there was a war. It's called the War of Independence between 47 and 48. But going back to what I was saying, the blood moons happened in 47. Exactly. Oh, God is wonderful. The next time a blood moon happens, 1967. The Six-Day War, and Israel now captures Jerusalem. Trust me, they're not giving it back. Stop wasting your time. Are you listening to me? Then the next blood moon is 2014, 2015. And it aligns exactly with the Jewish feasts, the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the perfection of the church, which is the time we are in now. And Jesus told us, he says, there shall be signs, talking about the end time, in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. There was another constellation that happened in September 21 of this 2017, when in the constellations there's a woman called Virgo, which is like the woman in Revelation chapter 12, and then Jupiter enters into her in January, so it's exactly 9 months, which is the same time that you give birth. Amen. And then she has a crown of 12 stars on her head, which is 12 planets exactly. Is there signs? Go and read your Bible. Genesis 1:14. Put it up for me. There's something wrong with us. Oh. You haven't heard anything yet. And God said, open your mouth, somebody. I don't know who said it. Olubi said. Paul said. Hello, somebody. Netanyahu said. And God said. And God said. And God said, let there be lights in the firmaments of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for years. Give me in the modern translation, the HCBC translation, where it says for religious, yes. And let there be lights in the expanse of the sight to separate the day from night, and they will serve as signs for the festivals hadn't yet been announced. The festivals were not announced until Leviticus, after God brought them out. But God, knowing ahead that he was going to use the sun and the moon to synchronize them with the Jewish feast, set them up there. That's how we know. There'll be signs in the sun. Go back to Luke now. Luke 21:25. Let there be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations. How many people know the distress of nations now? And with perplexity. How many people are perplexed now? Remember when Trump won, we said, ha! Talk about perplexity. The whole world was in perplexity and still is. And I asked him about North Korea the other day. They say, we'll take care of it. I said, this crazy guy, only God knows what he's going to do. You know, and the guy in North Korea, he's saying, you know, of course, he wants to survive. He won't try it. Take my word for it. No. His people will not allow him. If he wants to, his people will kill him. Because you know why? They know it will be their end. It's Trump, but it's not Obama. If you fire a nuclear weapon towards any American territory, that place will be completely annihilated. They know that. Consultation for what? As President of the United States, he has a right to defend the integrity of the territory of the United States if he perceives that they are under an existential threat. He does not need Congress. Now, he can do it if there is no threat. But if there is if that guy should ever make the mistake of firing a nuclear weapon anywhere towards, you know, Hawaii or any American territory, they will flatten him before the weapon gets there. They already have stealth bombers in South Korea that are loaded, locked, and ready. They did some maneuvers just a few weeks ago. You know, I don't know how many of you know, you know, I'm a World War II guy, you know. I like war films and I learn a lot from them. Amen. How many of you know that Jehovah is the man of war? Okay. So we're on the same page. Praise the Lord. In righteousness doth he judge and make war. These you're very sissy Christians who don't like war. If you don't like war, you don't like God. You know why? We have to have war before we can have peace. Because of rebellion and dishonesty. So they've put nuclear weapons in them, you know. And they did maneuvers just a few weeks ago with South Korea and Japan. You know, those stealth bombers, I have a friend of mine who's a Nigerian. You know, he did his first degree in University of Lagos at a first class. And he went to America many, many years ago. His son and Dara, they graduated together in Harvard. You know, he's a good friend of mine. You know, and he worked on the titanium oxide that is used to coat the stealth bomber. So that if he flies into your airspace, your radar cannot detect it. That guy won't know what hit him. He won't even try it. He knows better than that. His own people will kill him first. Because if he tries it, he will kill them and all their children. His own people will kill him first. If he gives them the order, fire to America, they say, okay, bing. You want to kill all of us? You know, because Trump is not like Obama, you know, or George Bush, or one of these other guys who will go and say, oh, you know, what should we do? And that will be that. So we don't want to go there, do we? And so, we're in that time now. Distress of nations. Perplexity. The sea and the wave. Or how many hurricanes happened this year? We've always had hurricanes, but not like this year. 2017. You know why? It is the year. Bible says we understood by the books the number of years. And the year is almost ending. That's why you should be on your watch. We don't know. There's an hour you think not. So all the prophetic signs are converging. Amen. And so
That's why he's saying, you hypocrites. You see, you can discern the face of the sky. How come can you not discern this time? This is the time. Like we sing all the time, this is the time of his appearing. This is it now. This is it now. All the prophetic signs are all in the sky. You know, the distress of nations and all of that. And so it is time for you and I, the church, to wake up to our spiritual responsibilities, you know, and watch and pray so that the glory of God can appear. It is that glory of God that will provide a haven from the gross darkness of the world. You know, I used to think, you know, revelation is progressive and continuous. I used to think that, you know, when the glory comes, it's going to fill the whole earth and push all the darkness out. No. I used to think that. But, you know, as I prayed and God began to show me, what's going to happen is that where Zion is, there will be light. But there will be darkness outside. Then like Goshen and Egypt. Then people will now come. Go and read the scripture. This is what it says. It says that kings shall come to the brightness. Where they are is darkness. They will leave their darkness and come to the brightness of your rising. But every dwelling place, there will be light. So you're going to have vast islands of light in a vast ocean of darkness. Now, you have a choice. You can come to the light and join us in the light and stay in the light. Or you can come to the light, enjoy the light for some time, don't get a wedding garment, and we throw you back into your darkness. That's your choice. That's what the parable says. It says, and God said, and compelled them to come in. It says, and the place was filled with guests. And it says, and the king came to see. God, everybody's going to be inspected. It says, the man that did not have a wedding garment, they said, they asked him, they said, Oga, it's not you, my brother. How did you enter this place? Tayo. I'm only joking with you. How did you enter this place? The man said, he was speechless. They said, angels, bind him hand and foot. And cast him into outer darkness. So when you don't enter this thing just for the ride, don't enter only for the bread and the fish, eat also the flesh and the blood, so that you can get a wedding garment. The covering and the anointing will bring you in, but it is your getting your own personal wedding garment that will skip you in. I'm going to repeat it. Covering an anointing will sweep you in, but it is only you doing the word of God yourself and getting your own personal wedding garment that will keep you in. It went very quiet. You could hear a pin drop. Well, you're planning to get a wedding garment, aren't you? So if you're planning, you're going to give the Lord a shout. Come on. Were you planning to come in and not get a wedding garment? Peradventure. Okay. So it's important that we discern the time. That's why I've said all the things I've said, so that we can be prepared. How do we prepare? I preached it a few weeks ago. You know, discerning the days and hastening the coming of the day. Frequent and fervent prayer. Watch and pray always. Don't forget the always. That's the condition. Watch and pray that you may be accounted worthy to stand before the Son of Man. You know, and you don't have to be perfect to watch and pray always. Anybody can watch and pray always. That's why God made it so simple. You know, the condition is not perfection. The condition is watching and praying always. Because there are people who are not perfect, but they are under covering and they are growing. You know, anybody can watch and pray. If you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you can watch and pray always. Amen. Because he told you how. He says, watch and pray always. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's why he gave us tongues. Without tongues, we couldn't pray always.
But that's why you need you. That's why you have to have oil in your vessel. You have to. And that's why I've been teaching you this. I've been emphasizing since 2003. You know, at least you know once every 6 hours, then at every opportunity, and then in every temptation. If you do that, you watch and pray always. It doesn't mean you're going to pray in every minute. It just means you'll be praying frequently, and in between there'll be communion with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit, your mind, in all your ways, you'll be acknowledging. There'll be this interaction between you and God. This is what I've noticed in my own personal life, and I'm sure all of us probably have experienced this at one level or the other. I'm going doing a lot of stuff. Maybe I'm traveling. I'm in the airport. I'm in the taxi, and all of that. And suddenly, maybe I need to go to the bathroom, and it suddenly gets quiet around me. I'll just be reminded, pray now. That's what I do. Do you understand? I go to the bathroom to ease myself, I pray. I come out, I pray. I'm in the car, I talk for some minutes, maybe I'm in a Uber, like in England, the taxi driver is telling me, it's just me alone inside the car. I just get that nudge, pray. And I get busy again, and I talk with people, I interact, laugh, play, everything, and I pray. So what it has now become a habit. I watch and pray always. How many times you pray a day? I can't count it. It's frequent. It's just all the time. Every time I have a nudge and I have an opportunity, I pray. I don't wait for something bad to happen before I pray. I don't pray because something bad is going to happen. I pray because I love my God and I want to commune with Him. A big difference. I'm not praying just because I want to get something. I'm praying because I want to know somebody. Big difference. I want to know God more, and I want to grow, and I want to get closer to Him. Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. The initiative is not with Him, it's with you. He has promised to always respond, but the initiative lies with you. You draw nigh unto God, then He will draw nigh unto you. If you're not close to God, the fault is yours. He said, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. So what are you doing about that? Hello, somebody. I didn't hear an amen. Hallelujah. Folks, God is such a good God. He didn't ask us to do what we can do. So I gave us tongues. Confess my sins and clean with the blood in Jesus' name. I just pray in tongues. Just a minute, 30 seconds, and you stop. Then you're playing, you're working on your computer, you're in the office, or you're a doctor, you're doing your ward round, or you're a business person, or you're in the bank. It doesn't matter where you are. There will always be periods of time. They're not long. So maybe it's 2 minutes, maybe it's 5 minutes. There will always be opportunities for you to pray. Just a little. So don't give me that nonsense that you're so busy. You're being dishonest. You can if you want to. Do you understand? And the foundation is you do your early morning prayer. That's where you do the 1 hour, 1.5 hours. That's the foundation. If that foundation is not there, you're going to find it difficult to pray without ceasing throughout the day. Hello? And you see the same pattern with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus will get up early in the morning. He will pray. Then throughout the day, He will be praying. How do I know? The Bible records it. The Bible says, and when they were together in one place, and He prayed. And when He ceased, then they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They saw the man. This is God. The man, he didn't stop praying. He would get up early morning, he would pray about 2.5 hours, 3 hours. Then he would now come, then they'll be doing the ministering to people, healing the sick, blah, 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 talking to people, go to Lazarus' house, eat, Then he'll withdraw, he'll pray. And people came to him. They say, when he's praying like that and they want to talk to him, then when he finished, the Bible says, when he ceased, then they came to him and said, Oga, Lord, teach us. Not how to pray, but to pray. It's both anyway. But teach us to develop, to cultivate the culture and the habit of prayer. That's how Jesus was. You can understand now how he understood everything, and you know what people are thinking, because he was so close to God. So when you're having a thought, he will pick it in the spirit. So then he perceived the thought of their heart. You know, you can do the same. You get to play your way, the Holy Spirit, that's what they are thinking. You don't have to tell them anyway. Sometimes it's wiser not to even tell them. Just pray for them. Ask life for them. Especially when it's negative. You know, nowadays when God shows me things out, people, especially when they are negative, I don't talk to people about it. I just pray for them. Let it go. You know, why get into an argument? The other day I was teaching us about rebuke and chastening and love. You know, it says that he that rebuketh a scorner get into himself a blot. So what do you do to a scorner? You give him secret love. Don't give him open rebuke, because he's going to fight you. So the best thing to do for a scorner is just pray for them and leave them alone. Don't say anything to them. You know, and ask God to have mercy and help them. Amen. And you know what? God will. That's God's nature. Have mercy and help them. You know, I mean, if they need chasing, they'll still get chasing anyway. But that's between them and God. They made their choices. But your own job is to walk in love. Your own job is to help as many people as you can help. Your own job is to give life when you see other people sin, not to condemn them. Your own job is to help them the best that you can. Do you understand? The rest is between them and God.
Amen.
After all, vengeance is mine. I, not you, will repay, saith the Lord. When you try and repay, you mess yourself up. Let God do it. And trust me, he's an expert at it. Especially when they don't repent. God knows exactly what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. Well, your own job is to pray and have goodwill to all men. Have I helped anybody here tonight? You know, the only thing I'm doing is just preaching the Bible. It's not my message, it's Jesus' message. I'm just preaching what the man said. Hello, somebody. That's why God taught us to teach the Bible. You know, you just preach only topics. You know, if you just preach just sermons, if you're not careful, you only preach what you like. But when you preach like this, you are forced to preach everything, and it makes you balanced. That's what has helped me by the grace and the mercy of God over the years. Now let's quickly see on how we finish. It says, yea, verse 57, yea, why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? In other words, be honest with yourself. Remember, it's in the same breath. The Bible is not reading chapter and verse. He said, talking about, you know, can you discern the time? They say, why? Even of yourself. I mean, you know the truth. You know, I've come to a conclusion, and it's an inescapable conclusion if you're honest, that anybody who goes to hell went because they want to. I've come to that conclusion. You know why? I've come to understand this. There's some scriptures that I call them foundational pillar scriptures. The Bible says this was the true light that lighteth every man. It says we are made manifest to God, and in your consciences there is no man. In Romans, you know, he says, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. There is no man who God has not spoken to in their conscience. None. The beggar on the road, the man in Saudi Arabia, who is a Muslim, who has never heard the gospel before, the guy in the Buddhist in China, the Hindu in India, none, not one. The Spirit of God finds a way of ministering to their conscience. And he also finds a way. You know, because I travel a bit, you know, and I listen to people, you know, and all of that. One of the places I love going is America. Because America is a melting pot. Melting pot. That means, you see, what God did was, at the Tower of Babel, God scattered Shem, Japheth, and Ham. Those are the descendants, and they were scattered throughout the whole earth. In America, God brought them back together. America was originally occupied by what we call the Red Indians. You know, we really are descendants of Shem from far, 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 far over the years. You know, then the Caucasians went there, you know, the whites from England, you know, and they went there for the right reason. They went there to go and try and serve God better. The Pilgrim Fathers, you know, and from there the American nation was established, you know, George Washington and, you know, and others like that. And it was all based on the foundation of the Bible. I love the opening words of the American Constitution. We, the people, consider these truths to be self-evident, that all men, black, white, red — this is Olubi Johnson's, you know, but that's the implication — all men are created equal and have a right to the pursuit of happiness. That's God. That's why America is the greatest nation on the earth. God gave them a constitution that was based solidly on the Bible. So when I'm in America and I go to some churches, you know, the particular church Darren William goes to, very nice church. I love that church. It is one third black, one third white, and one third Asian. Yes. It's a big church, you know, maybe about 1,000 people, you know. I love going to that church. The pastor is black. The black American. You know, the senior pastor. One of his assistant pastors is white. One of the other assistant pastors is Asian. In that church, you see everybody: Korean, Japanese, Chinese, Indian, Vietnamese, German, Italian, French, Nigerian. That is the kingdom. It's the kingdom. I always, you know, and anytime I, you know, and I go to the shops, you know, or I, you know, I go out, you know, some of they have this taxi called the Uber, you know, I get all kinds of drivers. Sometimes the guy is Indian, sometimes he's Pakistani, sometimes he's from Somalia, sometimes he's German, sometimes he's English, you know, sometimes he's African American, sometimes he's Nigerian. True. You know, I just see Femi. I'm going Nigerian. When you enter the guy, he will greet you, say, "Ekaso." So I'll greet you back and say, "Ekaso, Eshio. Lord bless you. Igbalo Debi. Oh, God, I'm here for 20 something years." You know, and we talk, and you know, when last were you in Nigeria? I went to Betty Lolly, but you know, what I love is the diversity. That's God. God has now brought the family back that was scattered. So, I said all of that to say this. We've seen people from every background. Buddhists, die-hard Muslims, get born again. Amen. The son of one of the leaders of Hamas is on YouTube. The son of one of the leaders of Hamas. Hamas is this terrorist organization that is in the West Bank that has said death to Israel, death to America, death to everybody. This boy, his father is one of the top people in Hamas. Google it. Google son of Hamas. You will see it. And you can listen to all this something. But let me just summarize. I'm saying nobody has an excuse. God has a way of getting across to everybody. This is one of the most extreme stories in our generation. This boy was doing undercover for Hamas in Israel as a terrorist. He was captured. Mossad captured him and put him in prison. In prison, he began to read the newspaper, and he began to read about Israel. Somewhere, somehow, somebody got a Bible in there. God. And he began to read about Jesus. Oh, so believe. To cut a long story short, you read the story, it's very interesting. You can, son of Hamas, just Google it. You know, to cut a long story short, do you understand? It took him time. It took him about 2 years. You know, he started his views. You know, he said, this one, they always tell us to go and kill ourselves. You know, and this one is talking about love and forgiveness. You know, and gradually he began to change. So they now recruited him. Mossad now recruited him to go and be an undercover agent for Israel. So he went back, you know, and they thought he was still part of them, you know, and all of that, you know, and he began to give intelligence to the Israeli. There are still many of them like that today. You just won't know. You just won't know. For every terrorist thing that happens, there are 10 that are foiled because of correct intelligence. Because there are many people inside the system that don't believe in all that rubbish. Because they just begin to compare. They see the hard life in Israel. Israel is so civilized. The children are going to school. In the Palestinian side, there is corruption, poverty, you know, lack of development. All those, if you go to Israel, you can tell the difference. It's like between light and darkness when you cross from one to the other. Anyway, to cut a long story short, this boy, you know, he did the undercover for some time. Then after a while, he was exposed. And of course, his father swore to kill him. You know, they disowned him. You know, and in the course of all of that, he finally became a Christian, became born again. Then, you know, they took him to America. He's in America now. You know, and he's been going from churches and preaching and giving his testimony. They're sworn to kill him, but he stays in the US undercover. You know, I don't know. You know, God has had mercy on him. He says he still loves his father. He loves his parents. He says they're good people. He said, but that's all they know. He said, but I've seen another side, and I'm appealing to them to change. You know, you preach across to his people and all of that. And he said this. It's one of the things he said. He said, there are a lot of young people like me that are in Saudi Arabia, in all these Muslim countries, that we want freedom. He said, but we are too afraid of what our parents would do to us. He said, but if somehow God can help us. See, God had to put him in an Israeli jail to get him saved. A true story. And there are many like that. There are many, even in Saudi Arabia. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. The human heart is crying for God. I can never forget what George W. Bush said as President of America when he was still president. He said the values of free speech, education, a home for your family, you know, peace, love. He said they are not American values. They are universal values. Every human being wants that. The Palestinian wants it. The Saudi Arabian wants it. The guy in North Korea wants it. The human heart is seeking for God. And that's why when they hear the truth, it resonates. I made myself manifest to every man's conscience. So there is nobody That's an extreme example that somehow God knows. I don't know how God will do it, but He knows how to get across to them. He knows how to get across to them. There was a Chinese girl my wife and I met. She was our guide, even when they went on school tour. She calls my wife Mommy. She's Chinese, oh. We call her our Chinese daughter. Our last trip to China, you know, she takes us around, you know, translates, you know, takes us on a tour and everything. You know, we treat her just like our daughter. You know, and this last trip, you know, this was about 2 years, 1.5 or 2 years ago in China, you know, which took us to Shanghai. We went around together and all that. So she began to tell us about her life, her mother, you know, and she's almost 30 now. She isn't married yet. She had a guy and the guy didn't disappointed her and blah, 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 you know, and she told us about him. So we encouraged her and then we told her, but Jesus can help you. She said, yes, I want Him to help me. We led her into a sinner's prayer and got her born again. You haven't heard half of it. She's in the US now. How she got there, I don't know. She's in New York. She called us. She's in New York now. There is nobody. She was brought up a Buddhist. Kumawari. God. God. And there are millions like that. Millions. They are crying for freedom. The whole earth is waiting and groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. They are waiting for us. The fields are white unto the harvest. Don't be fooled by the propaganda. It's all over the world. The men are yearning for the truth. And there's the religious and ideological systems that they've been born into is a cage that is keeping them in bondage, but God is going to set them free. Hallelujah. Loose them that are appointed unto death. Hallelujah. I got to close, Pastor G. Yay. Why even of yourselves judge ye not that which is right? Every man has it in his heart. I have the witness. You know, see, without the Ten Commandments, there was no Ten Commandments in the time of Joseph. How did he know adultery was wrong? He had no Bible. There was no law that says thou shalt not commit adultery. How did Joseph know that it would be wrong for him to commit adultery with Potiphar's wife? Conscience. How did Abimelech, a heathen king, no covenant, no Bible. It's the time of Abraham. Moses wasn't even born. There was no Ten Commandments. There was no Torah. There was no law. You know, watch what Abimelech said. God comes to Abimelech in the night, in a dream, and says, you're a dead man. He said, you got another man's wife. Abimelech shouts and says, I didn't know it was his wife. He said it was his sister. How did he know that it would be okay for the sister, but not okay for the wife? If truly Sarah was only Abraham's sister, it was fine. Yeah, but he now knew that if it is his wife, it's wrong. How did Abimelech know that sleeping with another man's wife was wrong when there was no Ten Commandments? Conscience. Lie not to yourself. You know the truth. It's inside. Give me Romans chapter 2. Hallelujah. Thank you. This guy picked it by the Spirit. You guys walking in the Spirit at last. That's a good joke. Say, for when the Gentiles, say including Abimelech, Pharaoh, all the people in the Old Testament, your forefathers in Africa.
Open your mouth.
Oh yeah. Before the missionaries ever came, before we ever heard that there was a Bible, the Yorubas knew what was right and what was wrong. It has always been wrong to steal. It has always been wrong to lie. It's always been wrong to kill. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. How do they do it? By nature. Not by instruction. Having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Next verse. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience. That's how Abimelech knew. That's how Joseph knew. Also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Give me the next verse. It's the punchline. In the day. Turn to your neighbor, say, that day is coming. Oh, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. If they never hear the gospel, God will judge them by their hearts. You chill. God's in control. Are you listening to me? When I first got born again, one of the things that bothered me, because on my mom's side is a Muslim family, and they're good people. Good, lovely, wonderful people. They looked after me when I was a kid. My mother and her sisters. I grew up with Muslims. I was brought up. They didn't force me to go to the mosque. I was not converted to Islam. But, you know, my grandfather was chief imam of Lagos. Elijah Gustav, you know, he was a lawyer. He was a Queen's Counsel. Guess what? My grandfather was the lawyer for the Catholic Church. Oh yes, everything the Catholic, every legal thing the Catholic, you know, back in those days, you know, came through my father, my grandfather's chambers. That's how he made his money. He was a millionaire. The everything that the Catholic Church had was my father. You know why? My grandfather was Catholic. They came from Brazil. His father was Roman Catholic. His brothers were Roman Catholic. I don't know how I became a Muslim. Until I get to heaven and see him, I don't know how we're going to solve. I wish he was around when I got born again. We would have had a nice conversation. And he was a very nice man. Extremely intellectual. You know, he spoke Arabic, he spoke French, he spoke English. He was a great speaker. You know, they used to love to hear him in court. And he was one of these old guys, you know, used to wear the, I still remember, he wear this three-piece suit. You know, he didn't have this kind of clock. He had the one, he had a chain put inside his pocket, you know. He was lovely guy, you know. So I used to bother. They all got to go to hell. Then as I prayed, God began to show these things to me. When my grandfather died, I wasn't born again then. I was only 12 years old. He died in 1971. But my grandfather didn't die immediately. I still remember. He oscillated between heaven and earth for about a week. And at his bedside, because, you know, they spread him out on the bed. You know, and you know, they used to allow us to go up and, you know, we just look and we'll come downstairs. I was only 12 years old, you know. And my mom and her sisters would go and sit by his bedside and, you know. And this was what they said. Now I become a Christian, I can appreciate. At that time, of course, I didn't understand, you know, I was just a kid, you know. And they said the man started talking. In that kind of coma kind of state, and that he was seeing some people with white dresses and angels, and go understand what the man was talking about, and all of that. And it was after some days of that in and out of body experience, the man passed on. I believe God got across to him. You see, let me tell you something about God. Don't put God in your pigeonhole mind. He's far bigger than that. Say, Pastor, how do you know? I don't know. I didn't say I know. I said I believe. When I get to heaven, we'll find out. But I really believe. You know why? When I look back on my grandfather's legacy, and his descendants, particularly us from my mother and her sisters, there are two very important things my grandfather did. When I look back now, I know he did them deliberately. He sent my mom and all her sisters to Christian schools. He had his own denomination, Jamaat Islamiyah, and they had schools. He didn't send them to their schools. He sent everyone. My mother went to CMS, and when they all finished in back in those days, we're talking about the 1940s, he sent them to England. My mom went to England in 1946 or something. Yeah, 1948. All her sisters, every single one of them was schooled in England, France. He could afford it. He sent all of them abroad. Gave them. You would never know they were Muslims. He gave them a completely Christian education and background, and that's how they brought us up. And watch this. Over these last few years, when I say last few years, last 20 years, about 4 or 5 of us are now pastors. I'm talking about the grandchildren. Not just me alone. One came here at Itinu's wedding. Anifoshe, remember? When he gave the testimony the day after Itinu's wedding. Toyin's parents on both sides are Muslims. His mother was Muslim. His father was Muslim. He was in University of Ife with Pastor Kwega. We all did boys together and everything. I got born again first. They all thought I was crazy. They came for my wedding. They all came for my wedding. And when they came to my wedding, Mommy Sarah, our wedding, there was such an anointing our wedding. They said, all these funky SUs. And he said, so S, they funky. S's can be, and that's when the seed was sown. Within a year or two, Tony was born again. He now works with he's in Okonkwo's church with Trem. He's one of their very loyal somebody. He's been like that for years, And not only him, about 3, 4, 5 of us, men and women, are born again. They're now pastors, filled with the Holy Ghost. All from a Muslim grandfather. God knows what he's doing. And interestingly, I got to close. My grandmother, that is my grandfather's wife, who gave birth to my mom, she had 12 children. I don't know how they did it in those days, but... My mom had 9 sisters and 3 brothers, 12 of them, from the same woman. When my grandmother, I was very close to her, I was emotionally attached to her. She died a few years later in 1983. That time I became a Christian, born again, spirit filled. My parents were very angry and all of that, my aunties, and thought I was crazy. Then my grandmother was sick, so I went to Lagos to go and see her. My grandmother, when I think back now, now I know the Bible. She'll be telling me end time. I don't know how she knew. She'll say to me, she's speaking Yoruba to me. She'll say, she'll start telling me all the things. I'll just be looking at her like this. How does this woman know? About, and she would tell me all kinds of lovely things, honesty, humility. She's saying Yoruba, but she'd be telling me that these are the things. When she died, the same thing happened to my grandfather. She didn't die immediately. She too oscillated like that. The same experience. She was seeing people wearing white, talking about it and all of that, and then she gradually lulled into unconsciousness, and then before she died. The Bible is true. What am I saying? I am saying to us that God touches every human being at one level or the other. He will get across to them. You know our job? Prayer. That's why we pray so much. Because all that prayer is not wasted for all saints and for all men. And God knows how to get to them. Hallelujah. You and I, we have a great job to do. This world is waiting for us. People are dying. People are in distress. They are suffering. But hallelujah, here comes the Church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The church is marching on, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Talk to God, somebody. Talk to God, somebody. God will judge the secrets of all men. Oh yes. Hallelujah. You see, you know, when you understand what happened in Abraham's bosom, things become clear. You know, those guys were not, all the Old Testament guys, they were not born again. Jesus, I didn't write it. The Bible says he went and preached to the spirits in prison. But they were not alive. Yeah. It's there. It's in 1 Peter. He says, you know, the gospel was preached unto them that are dead. They were not alive when I preached to them. Hey, pastor! Of course we have to preach to the people who are living. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And if you are alive, you hear and you reject, you will go to hell. Do you understand? But for those who didn't have the opportunity, somehow, I don't know how God does it. I am not God. But somehow God gets across to them. He does. And one of the greatest testimonies we have of that is Kenneth Hagin. You know, Kenneth Hagin died on his sick bed and went to hell. Go and read his book. It's called I Went to Hell. Oh yes, he died, left his body. His body went down. He got to the gates of hell, and a creature. The Bible says hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. They went to go and escort him inside. The creature took him by the, and they were about to take him inside. Then a voice spoke from heaven and something drew him back. And he went through from the bottom of the earth, went back, entered his body again. His mother was praying outside at the top of her voice. It happened three times. He died three times. He went again the second time, went to hell again, got to the gate. There was a voice from heaven and came back. He went the third time. He said, hey, this is it, man. Third time, you know, maybe I won't make it back. He said he had never been so frightened in all his life. Hell is real. Don't let anybody fool you with religious talk. And he got there. And that creature was about, and the voice spoke again from heaven. It was intercession. And the thing, a force drew him back, and he came back into his body. This time, as he entered his body, he said he started praying. you know, the first time when he was going there, he said, God, I belong to the church. I've been baptized in water. No answer. This the third time, as he started coming up, he hadn't entered his body. In the spirit, he started praying the sinner's prayer. It's a true story. He started praying the sinner's prayer and said, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I accept him as my Savior. Then when he entered his body, his voice now picked up the prayer. And then he got born again. So when people die, don't believe that's the end. Sometimes, if people pray, you can bring them back and get them born again and then release them back. It happened to Kenneth Hagin. Came back, accepted Christ in his heart. He felt better, but he was still sick in his body. Then a few months later, he now got healed. Before he got healed, he died again and went to heaven this time. When he went to heaven, he said, go back, your work on earth is not yet finished. And he went back to the earth. Then he got healed and then filled the Holy Spirit, and then he got his ministry and everything. Do you understand? That's a true story. Again, he's not the only one. Again, you know, you can hear stories. You know, these are things we should be preaching about. See, the church is so earthly minded. These are realities. These are the things we fed on when we got born again. That's what makes us serious as Christians. Because there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Misbehave, you will go to hell. And trust me, folks, it's not funny. Kenneth Hagin said he never been so frightened in all his life. 16-year-old boy. He was only 16 plus at that time. So he'd reached a year to accountability. It's good. Went to church. See, going to church and being born in a Christian home does not guarantee you're going to heaven. They don't care how much water they put on your head when you are a baby. You will not take it to heaven. What's going to take it to heaven is believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He died for your sins and he was raised again from the dead for your justification. You accept him as Savior, you confess him as Lord. That's what changes the human heart, and that's what guarantees entrance to heaven. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
hallelujah. You and I have a job to do. Pray for people. And where you can, as God gives you the opportunity, talk to them. Say, my brother, like we did for that Chinese girl. See, God was wrong. We didn't go and start preaching to her. God opened the door. She was having challenges. She was crying. And we told her, said, Jesus can help you. And she said, yes. Today she's in the U.S., where she can worship God in freedom.
Desire.
No one else will do.
me find a way.
Sunday, this is the air I breathe. He's right here. See, God is a spirit, just like radio and television waves. His presence is right there. Don't say, I'll go to heaven, who will bring him down? Or I'll go to across the sea. He's right there, just with your breath. So talk to him. Now we're going to pray. Say, God, always help me to commune and fellowship with you. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to know you more, so that in this end time, when your glory comes, I will be ready. I'll be accounted worthy. You said I should watch and pray always that I'll be accounted worthy. Help me to do that. That is the essence of this teaching this evening. The signs are there. They've all been fulfilled. There is no sign, Pastor G, that has not been fulfilled. There is not one. All of them. The sign in the sun, in the stars, you know, the distress of nations, you know, the sea and the waves worry, everything. The only thing that's remaining now is for him to come. Don't be caught flat-footed. This is not a day and an hour to be religious. This is not a day and an hour, you know, to be unserious. And it doesn't require, you know, big spirituality. Just little honesty of heart. And that's why he gave us tongues, to make it easy. With tongues you can pray all the time. 2 minutes here, 1 minute here, 5 minutes here. Put frequently throughout the day. And then early in the morning, try and do 30 minutes, 1 hour, the best that you can. You know, clean with the blood, load with the word. Pray your love prayers. It's not hard. The yoke is easy, the burden is light. But what doest thou? Talk to him. So you're ready. You will not know the day of that, but when the time comes and the thing begins, you're already ready. You just flow into it. Like Jesus didn't know the day and the hour, but when his mommy said, whatever I says you should do it, he was ready and he flowed with it. You'll be ready, you'll be flowed with it. Say, Father, we confess our sins, especially the sin of prayerlessness. And so clean with the blood. And so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you for this word this evening, reminding us that we're in the end time. We discern the times the same way we discern the weather. And Lord God, in response to this, Lord God, we make ourselves ready. We ask for fresh mercy and grace, honesty of heart. We renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. We do not walk in craftiness, and we will not handle the word of God deceitfully, but rather in honesty and humility. We will watch and pray always by your mercy and your grace, so that we'll be accounted worthy. We'll be ready for this glory that is about to be made manifest, so that we can carry it to the ends of the earth. The whole of creation, men all over the earth that are groaning and waiting and travailing for the manifestation of the sons of God. They don't know, but we know. And we will go and meet them, and we will help them. In Jesus' name, amen. Neka toloma tolomako. Tolomoshele prekakro. Libritofrinengar. Zifrika kromotolo. Lombriketoshka frides. Lombrideto frenengas. Laketushka fre. Lombrikakon. Tolomotolomba to fridofrishing. Jeketolomotolo. Lombrikamotolom lamper to fridofrishing. To fridia. Lombrika tolomotolo. Tolomotufrides. Zephri, Lomberka Tolomaka, Tolomash Tufredes, Ziklamatulo, Lamberkatushka, Zephri, Lomberka Glama, Tolomatushka Frika Gogla, Tolomatulo, Pretufreshi, Stofridofreshi, Lomberka Klamatul, Antuklamako, Tolomatufreshi, Tofridofreshi, Kokoklamatuko, Tolomatuklamako, Tolomatuklamako, Tolomatufreshi, Zofrega Klamatuko, Tolomatufridofreshi, Kerl, Tolomatulomas, Tofredes. Tolomangaras, Tufridilemaras, Jiki Tufrenes, Toglomatolos, Zofrideles, Tufrenes, Tufrenes, Jiki Tufrides, Lombredelectus Cafrene, Lombredeles, Jiki Tufrenes, Tolomangaras, Tufrideles, Tufrides, Zofrine, Haha, Neratoros, Zifridia, Lombertolom Tufrides. In Jesus' name. Say, Father, we confess our sins, so clean with the blood